ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। Chapter 13, verses 18 to 22.
Chapter 13, verse 18 to 22.
We concluded with 18, so we will continue with 18. Jyoti Shama Pitaj Jyoti He, Jyoti Shama Pitaj Jyoti He, Tamasapparamuchyate, Jnanam Yeyam Jnana Gamyam, Jnanam Yeyam Jnana Gamyam, Hridi Sarvasya Vishtitam, Jyoti Shama Pitaj Jyoti He, Tamasapparamuchyate, Jnanam Yeyam Jnana Gamyam, इति क्षेत्रं तथा ज्ञानम् नेयं चोक्तं समासतः मद्भक्त एतद्विज्ञाय मद्भावायोपपद्यते इति क्षेत्रं तथा ज्ञानम् नेयं चोक्तं समासतः मद्भक्त एतद्विज्ञाय मद्भावायोपपद्यते प्रकृतिं पुरुषं चैव विद्यनादि उभावपि विकारांशगुणांश्चैव वृत्तिप्रकृतिसम्भवान् प्रकृतिं पुरुषं चैव विद्यनादि उभावपि विकारांशगुणांश्चैव वृत्तिप्रकृतिसम्भवान् कार्यकारणकर्तृत्वे हेतुप्रकृतिरुच्यते पुरुषसुखदुःखानां भोक्तृत्वे हेतुरुच्यते कार्यकारणकर्तृत्वे हेतुप्रकृतिरुच्यते पुरुषसुखदुःखानां भोक्तृत्वे हेतुरुच्यते पुरुषप्रकृतिस्तो हि भुक्ते प्रकृतिजाम्बुणां कारणं गुणसङ्गोऽस्य सदसद्योनि जन्मसु पुरुषप्रकृतिस्योहि भुक्ते प्रकृतिजाङ्गुणां कारणं गुणसङ्गोऽस्य सदसद्योनि जन्मसु। Reality, Brahman, Atma, is undivided, yet existing as if divided in beings. That which is to be known is the sustainer of beings, destroyer and creator. Vibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktamiva chastitam. So undivided, yet appearing divided. Atma is essentially undivided, but it appears divided in the conditioned consciousness. Consciousness is unconditioned. But the same consciousness, when it is conditioned by objects, emotions and thoughts, it appears as if it is divided. Like how space appears to be divided by the walls of the different walls of the rooms. So that which is to be known, Jnayam, is the sustainer of being, is the creator, sustainer and destroyer. Beings emerge from the consciousness. It is sustained by the consciousness, dissolved in the consciousness. So it is beyond conception. Next is this. It is the light of all lights. You are conscious of light, and the consciousness is what he calls as the light of all lights. And that means consciousness, it doesn't require any other equipment or being to illuminate. It is self-illuminating. So the light, even of lights, that is said to be beyond darkness. Consciousness with which you come to know what you know is the same consciousness with which you come to know what you don't know. So that consciousness is beyond knowledge and ignorance, is that which is beyond darkness and light. That which is to be known is the goal of knowledge. Ultimately, everyone wants to get there only. You will not rest content until you attain that goal. The ultimate goal of knowing is to know something beyond which there is nothing remains to be known. Therefore, he says, that is the goal of knowledge. And where is it? Where do you find it? He said, in the hearts of every being, of all. So in other words, you got to go inward, not outward. There is a mind that goes outward. You got to turn the mind inward. And when the mind becomes completely introverted, you find the self within, glowing in its present glory. Next. Ite kshetram tata jnanam. Ite kshetram tata jnanam. Jnyeyam choktam samasataha. Jnyeyam choktam samasataha. Madbhakta etat vijnaya. Madbhakta etat vijnaya. Madbhava yopapadyate. Madbhava yopapadyate. Ite kshetram tata jnanam. Jnyeyam choktam samasataha. Madbhakta etat vijnaya. Madbhava yopapadyate. Thus the kshetra, as well as the knowledge, jnana, and that which is to be known, jnayam, have been briefly stated. Knowing this, my devotee attains my being. So Arjuna asked in the beginning few things. He said, please explain prakriti, purusha, kshetra, kshetrajna, jnanam and jnayam. So he says, so far I have spoken to you about kshetra, jnanam, jnayam, kshetrajna. Knowing this, what happens? Why should I know all this? Is it just for my intellectual understanding, scholastic purpose? Or is there something else? What happens knowing this? Why should one know this? He says, knowing this, my devotee attains my being. So, knowing this difference between kshetra, kshetrajna, knowledge and that which is to be known. Obviously, he says, my devotee. My devotee means one who identifies with the self. Atma. He's not talking about Krishna Bhakta here. Remember, Sri Krishna is not talking as Mr. Krishna. He's talking as Paramatma. Ishvara. So my devotee means one who is identifying with the Atma. My devotee, knowing this, reaches my being, attains my being. What is that he is trying to say? My devotee knowing, identifying will continue not with kshetra but with kshetrajna. And he will gain all these 20 qualities of a jnani that was discussed and which was explained as the knowledge. And such a person attains my being. So simply because you studied and understood the concepts, what is kshetra, what is kshetrajna, doesn't mean you will attain my being. You have to be my devotee. Devotee means, who is a devotee? One who is constantly thinking about divinity. simply because you are going to mandir every day or doing puja 24/7 doesn't mean you become a devotee. You may be sitting in the mandir, but your thoughts may be somewhere else. Your identification need not be with the divinity. If your identification is with the kshetrajna, not with kshetra, why do I have to know about all this? I have to know about all these things to understand that these are apart from me. These are not me. I am the kshetrajna. Kshetrajnam chapimam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bhavata. There is one kshetrajna which is playing in all the various different fields. And knowing this, what you are supposed to do now? Immediately, from this moment onwards, you should put in effort to identify with us. Identify with the higher self. See, that is where the effort comes. That is where the tapasya comes. That is where you have to strive. Because understanding this, if we continue to identify with the lower, then we are not devotees of Krishna. We are not devotees of Atma. We are devotees of what? The body, the mind, the intellect. Isn't it? My devotee attains my bhava. Meaning, as you think, so shall you become. So the reason we study, especially I told you from 13, the emphasis is shifting to knowledge. Now, I must apply myself and say, okay, what is this kshetra? He discussed about 31 feet. And he said, this is not exhaustive, there is a lot more. You understand? In other words, everything other than Atma is kshetra. Right? So, there is identification today with the kshetra. Knowing this, my devotee will identify with kshetra. Yeah. That is the difficult part. And to do that, we say, keep in touch with the subject, daily study, do other tapasya, discipline, etc., etc., etc. So that you will identify with kshetra. Because mind is also kshetra, intellect is also kshetra, body is also kshetra. We get involved in all these aspects. So, already is covered. We discussed from verses 6 and 7, kshetra. Then 8 to 12, he gave 20 qualities of a jnani. And then he said, all these qualities are jnana. Because if you identify with Atma, you will be humble, you will be unpretentious. Whom are you trying to please by pretending? There is nobody else other than Atma. So you won't be pretending, etc., etc. All these 20 qualities will shine forth in you. And then you will slowly, slowly begin to know what is to be known completely and attain my being. See, attain my being means what? You become Atma itself. Even before you have given up this body completely, the fact that you identify with Atma, you become Atma, dropping all the vasanas. The ego completely dissolves. That is the idea. In Ramayana, see, when you look at Ramayana from a symbolic angle, it gives a very interesting interpretation. Mother Sita represents the individual ego. You, me and all of us, the individual. And Lord Rama represents the Atma. When Sita was identifying with Rama, whether she was in the palace or she was in the forest, she was happy.
She was
happy. But when her attention turned away towards the golden deer,
okay,
then she was captured by Ravana, the ten-headed monster. The ten-headed monster is the desires, the various desires, propensities pulling you in all directions, your indecisive mind. So one desire is pulling this side, one desire is pulling this side, all contrary desires sometimes, and we don't know where they are. We are torn apart. That is what Ravana represents, Rakshasa. So when our attention turned from Brahma to the golden deer, she was captured by the extroverted mind. Even there, she would have not been captured if she had followed the Lakshman Rekha. She had obeyed the Lakshman Rekha. The Lakshman Rekha represents Brahmacharya. Brahmacharya means self-control, discipline. She didn't follow basic disciplines of life. As a result of that, overpowered by the extroverted mind and taken away to the intelligent world of Lanka. Now there at least she practiced little bit of identification with Rama at the thought level, detaching from the intelligent world, not partaking in intelligence, remaining in Ashoka Vana. Shoka means sorrow, Ashoka means non-sorrow. Non-sorrow does not mean positive joy, but you are free from sorrow. You have not yet attained positive joy, but you are free from sorrow. So, she was not indulging in the bounties of the kingdom in which she is imprisoned, but she was mentally thinking about Rama, practicing Vairagya. As a result, slowly the conviction in the truth increases and the faith is reinforced further, and that is symbolized by Hanumanji coming with the ring of Lord Rama and boosting the Sita's faith. You know, when you practice Vairagya in the world without indulging some discipline, your faith gets a boost, confidence gets a boost. Yes, you are in the right direction. Because your life commensurate with happiness, peace, prosperity, everything. So that confidence with which you can burn the intelligent world completely, that is the significance of Hanumanji burning the Lanka. Burning means mentally burning away all the temptations. Nothing can burn you anymore. Now, such a level when you reach, then you can collect all your thought force under the buddhi, Sugriva. Detach it from lust, the recall, Bali. The self within helps you. Rama helps you to conquer the lust and bring your thoughts under Sugriva, control, single-pointed direction. Then the monkey force represents the thoughts. So your thought gets more single-pointed. And the single-pointed thoughts, through that you completely destroy Ravana, ego with its ten-headed mind. And then you again unite with Rama, the Atma. And once the ego is merged with the Atma, thereafter in the palace, Lord Rama is sitting alone with the Mother Sita's statue, golden statue, representing the ego completely dissolves and leaves you. What remains thereafter is only Atma. So in other words, why I am comparing the symbolism here? You look at Ramayana as a symbolism. It's very interesting. So the symbolism is connected here in the sense, the more you know, you start getting control. How do you conquer fear? By understanding fear. What is fear? And with that knowledge, very carefully, you little by little expose yourself to the object of fear. Isn't it? Then you overcome the fear. You didn't understand what is thunder, lightning, so you were scared of it. But science explains to us what it is without understanding. Now people are not scared of thunder and lightning anymore. So, now knowing this, knowing means not just simple knowing, but with reflection, knowing it thoroughly. Then he likes it clearly. It is in Kshetra. My Kshetra is demanding something. And the Kshetra. So now I deal with it accordingly. So all the time I am the player. The fact that I identify with Kshetra and continue, slowly, slowly I become Brahman. So my devotee attains my being. So my devotee does not mean Krishna. Next. Now he's going to talk about Prakriti and Purusha. That is something which he has not spoken so far. So Prakritim Purusham Shaiva, Prakritim Purusham Shaiva, Vidyanadi Mubhavati, Vidyanadi Mubhavati, Vikaram Shakunam Shaiva, Vikaram Shakunam Shaiva, Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan, Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan, Prakritim Purusham Shaiva, Vidyanadi Mubhavati, Vikaram Shakunam Shaiva, Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan. Prakritim Purusham Cha Eva. Vidhi Anadi Bhava. Know that Prakriti, matter, Purusha, the spirit, both are beginningless, anadi. Adi means beginning, anadi means no beginning. Both have no beginning. Both the Prakriti and Purusha has no beginning. And know also that modifications and gunas, qualities are born of Prakriti. Vikaramscha, Vikaram means the modifications. Guna means the qualities. Vikara and Guna, both know. They are part of Prakriti. Prakriti Sambhava. They are born of Prakriti. So now why don't we say that Prakriti and Purusha both are meaningless? We have studied that from the scripture that Purusha, the spirit, is changeless. That changeless substratum is called as Purusha, right? That is, changeless means it cannot be a form. It is endless. It has no beginning, no end. It is beginning. Anand. But why does he say matter is also anadi?
Matter can be changed into any form. Matter can be changed into any form.
Matter can be
changed into any form.
That's okay, but why does he call it as beginningless? Anadi. So, if it exists,
I
think
you are just there. Yeah. Which is the divinity of all is there. Actually.
So, Purush or Prakriti, both are beginningless because
whether Purush
came out of Prakriti or Prakriti. Which began first, when, I mean if you look at it from the scientific point of view, one doesn't know the origin. So beginning less in that way. At the surface level.
What is this world made up of? Time, space, causation.
Yeah.
Prakriti is made up of time, space and
causation.
Time is eternal. Space is all pervading. Causation is endless. Take away time, space and causation, there is no world. So Prakriti is also beginningless. In fact, Prakriti began when you opened your eyes.
Yeah. So it's like an everyday process.
Prakriti is the, in a way, if you look at it, is the imagination. Don't go about saying all this is imagination. You will be told. Please understand what I'm trying to say. The moment you come, the world comes into existence. You and the world always comes together. When you go to sleep, as far as you are concerned, this world is Not there.
Not there.
The moment you wake up, your thoughts come. And when your thoughts come,
the world comes.
And the thoughts are nothing but the waves in the consciousness. So the substratum of it is beginningless. So that is also beginningless. So Prakriti is also beginningless. Purusha is also beginningless. And the moment you understand this, the Prakriti whole thing ends. Your identification with Purusha alone is there. Thereafter you become simply a witness to this. You look at it from a different angle, like you were trying to say the Shakti of the Purush. See, the concept of Natraja explains this nicely. World is not created, it is like dance coming out of the dancer. Creator will be separate, created object will be separate, the pot maker and the pot. But the dancer and the dance, they are separate. Dance emanates from the dancer.
Yeah.
So the energy inside the dancer is also infinite. It is also beginning. There is no beginning. The moment you identify it, you created this. That identification. Maya. So he says, Prakriti is also beginningless, Purusha is also beginningless. So time, space, causation is beginningless. It's infinite. There's no end to it, there's no beginning to it. It's infinite. Similarly, Purusha is beginning. Now, next he says, know also that modifications and gunas are born of Prakriti. In other words, Brahman, Prakrusha being changeless, it has no qualities in it. It's not a property. It has no... A property perishes, changes. Purusha is changeless. It's not a property. It's not a substance. It's a substrate. So Purusha has no qualities. Where are the qualities? Qualities are in the Prakriti. And that qualities keeps on modifying, changing. Purusha simply envelops. So the modifications and the changes and the qualities, they are all belonging to Prakriti. That's all it is. Purusha is simply an enlivening factor. See, in this portion, all that he wants to say is this. There is vapor in the atmosphere. The sunlight is passing through them. Then, what is created? Rainbow. Is there a rainbow there? There is no rainbow. The identification of Purusha with the Prakriti, all thing is created. Right? The energy is eternally in the Purusha. The moment identification comes, a beginning appears. But strictly speaking, there is no beginning. So the modification and all that belongs to the Prakriti. The identification with Prakriti, because of that, all the modifications and variety, changing, all that. Gain knowledge, you will stop identification. If you don't gain knowledge, you continue identification. The more the identification, the more solid the world appears. That's all he said. In English they say, I ran on a thumb. I ran on a thumb. In Hindi we say, thumb got into my flesh. Thumb doesn't come walking, getting into your flesh. You ran on the
thumb.
So out of ignorance, which has been eternally there in you. You have created this. Now if you gain knowledge, you will stop identifying. So in other words, who is said to be a knowledgeable person? One who stops identifying the person. So if even after studying all this, now practicalize this knowledge to a practical level. After studying all this, you are still getting upset by what is happening around us, by people calling us names, by their viciousness. That means what? I am still continuing to identify with
Prakriti.
Which means what? I have to start my Gita study from verse 1, chapter 1 again. Please understand this.
World affects you only to the extent you identify with.
So all these verses you've got to practically understand from your level. So I'm taking you in the direction. Purusha is beginningless. Prakriti is also beginningless. But due to the identification, the modification, qualities have come. So there are ignorant people who are identifying and functioning in different ways, behaving in certain ways. And you are saying, look at him, he is talking about me like this, she is talking about me like this, he is doing this to me. That complaining tendency, that agitated mind, what is that showing? It is only showing that I am still identifying with.
So
if you are doing a 3-year course at the academy, if you are still having this complaining tendency, simple, the guru will tell you, repeat the course again. It is at the end of the day, it is not how many times you study, have you stopped your identification. When you know that it is fire, what happens? Immediately you stop putting your finger in it. If you have not stopped putting your finger in it, you have not understood. So we can go on completing the Gita and then many other books. But all the books are saying only one thing. What? Detach from the Prakriti, attach with the Purusha. And for you to detach from the Prakriti and attach with the Purusha, you need something. Some help. Because you still have. Right? So you follow certain disciplines at home. Certain type of food will help you. It's not that it will, by itself will take you there. A certain type of food will help you. Getting up at a certain time in the morning and reading the scriptures will help you to reinforce your buddhi so that your identification with Atma becomes better. You understand? So pranayama helps you. So do that. Whatever helps you for your identification, keep that. So one side discipline, other side knowledge. With both this, your identification becomes stronger. So as long as, see, Prakriti is nothing but the image of Purusha. Are you with me? Prakriti is nothing but the reflection of Purusha. It's come out of Purusha. So it also has to be beginningless. But out of ignorance, when you identify with it, then starts all the joy. So all the variety show belongs to the Prakriti, not to Purusha. Purusha always remains with no ups and downs. Prakriti has all the ups and downs. prakritim purusham cha eva vidyanadi vibhava vikarascha gunascha eva vidhi prakriti samasambhava. We all are born up from the prakriti, the three gunas come, sattva, rajas, tamas. Then all the modification comes. All the whole thing has come. Next. A thought surfaces in your mind. You identify with the thought. Thought surfaces in your mind, you identify with the thought, then the thought further multiplies and grows. So he says, you have to stop that element. From the prakriti, all these gunas have come and this entire modification, changing world, everything has come. So from the basis, why did you identify and create this individual thing? Next. Karyakaranakartrutve, Karyakaranakartrutve, Hetu Prakriti Ruchyate, Hetu Prakriti Ruchyate, Purusha Sukha Dukkhanam, Bhoktrutve Hetu Ruchyate, Bhoktrutve Hetu Ruchyate, Karyakaranakartrutve, Hetu Prakriti Ruchyate, Purusha Sukha Dukkhanam, Bhoktrutve Hetu Ruchyate. Karya Karana Kartrutve, the production of the cause and effect. Karya Karana, effect and cause. Hetu Prakriti Ruchyate. It is said that the Hetu is Prakriti. Prakriti is said to be the cause. Purusha Sukha Dukkhana, for Sukha and Dukkha, Purusha Bhoktrutve Hetu Ruchyate. Purusha is said to be the cause of experience of pleasure and pain. That's all he said. So now, Purusha, in the experience of pleasure and pain, Purusha is said to be the cause. We'll explain. Once it's explained, you still have a question you ask. No, I only translated the verse. So, what Krishna is trying to say, we need to understand. In the production of effect and cause, Prakriti is said to be the cause. How? Identified with the prakriti. Right? Now what happens? What happens? Think about
it.
You become a doer. Kartrutva comes. Where is the kartrutva? Is the kartrutva there in Purusha? Purusha has no kartrutva. We have already studied that. Purusha understands that it is neither, it is not doing anything. In its presence everything is acting. Out of ignorance, when Purusha identifies with Prakriti, then the Kartrutva comes. When the Kartrutva bhava comes in Prakriti, the conditioned self, then with the Kartrutva bhava, you do desired and good action. You gain punya. You do desired and selfish action. You gain pap. Then pap and punya has what is called as adrishta phala. Adrishta phala will give you punya and pap. With that punya and pap which you have collected, you are guiding your life accordingly.
your life, everything you are attracting to you according to your punya and pap. So you are born as a human being because of your punya and pap. If you would have born with certain situation because of your punya and pap. You are where you are today because of your punya and pap. So everything is because of what? Kartrutva. And where is the kartrutva? Not in purusha. It is in. So karya karana kartrutve. Prakriti is said to be because. Then he says, when you go through all this punya and pap, there is a certain experience you gain within, in your buddhi. Right? What is making you conscious of that experience and interpret that it is pleasure, it is pain? What is making you conscious? Purusha. In that sense, this is the karana for the force. Ek hetu. Not karana. Hetu.
Purusha is what?
Purusha is the self. Atma. Puri means city. That means resides in the city is Purusha. So Atma is Purusha.
So Atma tells you what is good and what is
bad. Atma doesn't tell you what is good and bad. The Atma is in the form of consciousness, right? So it is in the consciousness you become aware of what is pleasure, what is pain. You have, out of ignorance, identified with the Prakriti and created punya and papa. Listen to me. Punya gives you pleasurable experience. Papa gives you painful experience. With what? Pardon?
Path for
your,
the pleasure that you enjoy, the desire that you have, it gives you pleasure, which is temporary, which is actually making path, you know.
See, the
thought... Murder someone, he doesn't know that path, it's really...
It gives him later on. Later on, the path that is accumulating gives him the environment, even in a nice environment, he remains depressed. That is path. So that experience of pleasure and pain that comes out of your punya and pap, temporarily you forget about punya and pap producing the experience. You just temporarily forget about it, but it is actually coming from pap and punya, whatever you experience. But experiencing pleasure and pain, no? With what do you interpret? How do you become? Are you becoming conscious of pleasure and pain or not? You are conscious that this is pleasure, this is pain. So what is the hetu there to say that this is pleasure and this is pain? The consciousness. So that consciousness, purusha, is the hetu in the case of experiencing of pleasure and pain.
So, identifying pain, pleasure. But then one is over that, above that, then
there is
Purusha state.
Yes. He's not talking that, he's not saying that Purusha makes you experience all this. That is not what he's saying. But with what do you become aware that this is pleasure, this is pain? It is with the help of Purusha. That's what he's saying. You understand? Buddhi is only a tool. Like, the knife becomes only when Purusha comes into it. So Buddhi ultimately discriminates and tells you that this is pleasure, this is pain.
But who is given the capacity to the Buddhi?
Purusha. You're right. With intellect, I come to know what is.
The Purush take charge before you are something around. Purusha is so good and so bright and so everything.
So
and there's a some path and punya. Why does Purusha not take charge of you before you're doing something wrong?
See, going back. Now, what you need to understand?
Yeah, but
I'm
still there.
Huh?
Yeah.
There is a verse coming, 22, 23, 23rd verse.
We have identified enough with the Purusha and the Purusha. So then it's a very giant mistake.
So please understand this. When I go to 23, I'll explain a little more, but now at the moment you just understand this. There is consciousness. And out of ignorance of your true self, you have now come far away to this level, wherever you are today. They are trying to explain to you from the absolute, if you go to absolute, kuchne ho rahe, from the absolute level. From our level, now Ami is there, Madhusri is there, PMN is there, everybody is there. Okay, from your level. So from your level, they are trying to explain. Now, the pure consciousness has now fallen into this state, as it were, of Ami. Right? Now, Ami can do tapas and dissolve the desires and get back to Purusha. Or continue doing the activities with attachment like before and gather more ignorance and continue this cycle. Okay. As we reduce the desires with our efforts, our equipments are losing all the dirt from it. Then the Purusha will be shining forth nicely. Are you with me? At the moment, our equipment is covered with lot of dirt. So Purusha is not inducing you to do anything good, bad. When you are doing bad, Purusha simply supports it. Supports means what? It's not saying, okay, go and do it. Not in that sense. Only meaning, it's like petrol in a car. Whether you are driving safely or you are driving rashly, petrol supports you in that sense. Are you with me? But if you start removing your desires and making your equipments little pure, little sattvic, then the Purusha consciousness will be used by you in a good way, not to destroy you. That is why in verse number 5 and 6, chapter 6, I explained to you, he says, your mind alone is a friend, your mind alone is a enemy. If you reduce the desires, the Purusha expressing nicely through the personality gives you the clarity with which you will not incur any sin. You will not destroy yourself. If you have not reduced your desires, now the clarity is missing, confusion is there, out of Purusha is simply enlivening the consciousness. But you are covering the Purusha with lot of desire. As a result of that, there is lot of confusion and you do again and again actions with Kartrutva, again gaining more and more power. That's all. So therefore Purusha is not going to stop you. If Purusha made you to do this, then it can stop you. Purusha in the first place never made you to do this. And Purusha is neither doing good nor doing bad. It is simply enlivening. Consciousness, take the word Purusha away, use the word consciousness. Consciousness simply enlivening. What do you mean? So your intellect, buddhi in you, discriminates the pleasure and pain. But what lends the capacity for the intellect to discriminate? The Purusha. Therefore it says, with Purusha you experience pleasure and pain. Do you mean? When I say I'm experiencing, I'm experiencing power, I'm experiencing punya. Who is experiencing? The conditioned consciousness. Right? The conditioned consciousness, you experience. And inside the real experiencer, the Atma. That one who is sitting inside and as it were experiencing is the Purusha. Do you follow what I am saying just now? You, out of ignorance, do so many activities. Right? As the individual, you do so many activities. Manjari has done act of this. Desire is good action. Punya. Desire is selfish action. Pap. All this pap and punya gives me pleasurable and painful experiences. Who is sitting inside and experiencing all this?
Yourself,
your atma. Who is sitting deep inside and experiencing? Purusha.
Purusha is experiencing, but when the inside, are you experiencing it as a witness? Are you experiencing it as the doer? There is a difference. See, Ramana Maharshi, he also, due to his karma, after having realized the self, went through certain experiences. Painful experiences, pleasurable experiences. Tell me. He is experiencing all of them. But the fact that he is evolved to that higher state, he is experiencing it as a witness. Now I am experiencing it as
a doer. Why this is happening to me? Affected. But inside, who is experiencing all this? Purusha is experiencing.
The aim is to get
to the Sakshidhar and get out of the dual.
Yes.
Doshi. Yes.
As Purush.
Yes. Becoming Purush. You become the Purush. You are that. Why are you entering in Prakriti of Purush? So there in the production of effect and cause, Prakriti is said to be the cause. In the experience of pleasure and pain, Purusha spirit is said to be the कारण पुरुष प्रकृतिस्थो ही पुरुष प्रकृतिस्थो ही भुक्ते प्रकृति जानपुना भुक्ते प्रकृति जानपुना कारणं गुण संगोस्य कारणं गुण संगोस्य सदसद्योनि जन्मसु पुरुष प्रकृतिस्थो ही भुक्ते प्रकृति जानपुना कारणं गुण संगोस्य सदसद्योनि जन्मसु. Purusha seated in Prakriti, matter indeed experiences the gunas, one of Prakriti. Attachment to the gunas is the cause of its birth in good and evil goods. This is what I explained to you. There is a palm bush. You are walking there in sadi. The sadi is moving because of the breeze, wind. And the sadi is going and falling on the palm bush and it is getting torn. It's like that in here. There is Purusha, there is Prakriti. Both are anadi. Purusha is seated in the Prakriti as a witness. Right? Gunas are in Prakriti, already we discussed. Due to attachment to guna, that is a problem. Somewhere the attachment starts. How the attachment starts, we already studied. Dayato, Vishayana, Purusaha, Vrata. Constantly thinking about the Prakriti. Now Purusha has become one with Prakriti. Marriage yoga. Once the attachment has started, now Manjari has come. Once Manjari has come, that's why I'm saying it's the cause of its birth. Then it is born in good and evil wombs, further, in various different births. So all he's trying to say is, somewhere the identification started. You can only break it now, rather than trying to find out when it happened. So now you stop identifying. How do you stop identifying? With the knowledge, with the discrimination, by questioning. The moment you question, all your attachments you question. The moment you start questioning, you are doing postmortem, cutting. When you cut it, then the attachment slowly vanishes. Then what remains is? Purusha went and identified with Prakriti and thereafter the various samsara has begun. So that's what he's saying. Attachment to the gunas is the cause of its birth in good and evil foods. Sadasat yoni janmasu. Sat and asat yoni. The more and more you identify with the thoughts, the prakriti, problem. That's why we say, if you have such a negative thought, in itself nothing wrong. But if you identify with it and function, then the problem comes. Simply because you have selfish thoughts, doesn't mean you will get the power. But if you identify with those thoughts, then what happens?
Action.
So you have given a momentum to that thought. You are acting on those thoughts. Whether physically you acted or not, a momentum has been given at the thought level. And that will form impressions. And impressions will give you birth. Vasanas will give you birth. Are you with me? So impressions forming is the problem. How did the impressions form? By your... So why do you have to gain knowledge? To detach. But if you gain knowledge and do not detach, that means your knowledge is simply at the head level and it has not been given momentum in your life, then it will not help you to detach and become conscious. That's all he's saying. We are the ones who are identified. So you ask yourself, why am I identified? Identify. What am I identifying with? What is deluding me now? Where am I questioning? So therefore we have to start questioning all our attachments. So he says, Purusha out of ignorance attaches to the prakriti, the qualities, the gunas. Sattvic, Rajasic and Tamasic gunas. And once it identifies with Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, then what happens? You create more and more qualities, desires from that identification. And desires will give you further birth. According to your karma. So what you have to do now, stop your identification. As of now, certain attachments are there. What do I do? How do I? Further, I should not create attachments. But already existing attachments, what do I do? I can't completely run away from them. So what do I do? I slowly put in effort to gain the higher knowledge. With that knowledge, I function in my field of attachments. By that, I am given direction to my desires. At the same time, I don't further produce. Now, let me start, at least not start new samsara. It's like, you know, somebody takes a loan and before the loan finishes, since he is paying quite a bit, he is also available, the little more loan is available. So then he takes that. He is continuously perennially in loan. There are people who do that. Take a loan, then slowly, take little more loan, little more, by that, then you have created a lot of money. Neither are you able to concentrate here, nor are you able to concentrate there. We have to be all fall into this.
I have a question for you. Sort of related.
Yeah.
When we talk of Shiv Shakti and when we talk of Guru Shiv Shakti, so here everything, when they unite, they form a jiva, which when attached to the guru.
The jiva has a capacity to not be attached.
But then it does attach, it goes
in. Further samsara is true.
But in there. Now, when you put a Shakti as a metaphor, how do you... Shiv Shakti is a metaphor for Purusha Prakriti?
Okay. Yes. What's your question?
No, how does it look like this world? Shiva Shakti as a metaphor.
Shakti comes from Shiva, right?
Mm-hmm.
Energy.
Yeah.
Shiva means consciousness. Shakti, the energy, comes from the consciousness. That energy and consciousness playing is the various beings. Now the being, if identifies with this Shiva, doesn't produce further vasanas. But if out of ignorance you start identifying with that individual, Jiva, then you create further vasanas, impressions. The impressions further takes you to, it has taken, brought us to this level.
So the Shakti in the case of Shiva Shakti as a symbol for Purusha Chakravarti.
Shiva is only simple consciousness.
Purush, and Shakti is Prakriti.
Yes. So that's, therefore when the play of energy is there in consciousness, the so-called variety has emerged.
I think but Shiva Shakti was Shiva Shakti without any ego there, it's all pure.
Yeah,
so
consciousness has no ego.
No,
I don't know what you're talking.
The Shiva Shakti used as one word there.
Simply answer. Shakti arises from Shiva. Like a dance arises from the dance. Dance is not happening outside. Understand? Within the consciousness, from that the Prakriti arises. The consciousness playing with Prakriti, the individuality created. All this individuality is what? Nothing but various expressions that have come from the same dance only. Are you with me? But since there is consciousness supporting that expression, the Maya, that's the play of Maya, that's the cosmic dance play of Maya. Now, one expression, Mamta, has come. So Mamta is now deluding herself to think that she is one individual. Mamta is having ego, not Shiva having ego. Shiva doesn't have ego.
So Shiva Shakti is without any ego, it's a purest form, is it not?
And
they say that Shakti
of Shiva is egoless, is
pure.
Yes.
Pure consciousness.
Yes.
It is risen above Purusha
and Shakti. Who is risen above Purusha?
Shiva Shakti.
Are you
saying
Shiva Shakti? Shakti. You are one time you are saying Shiva Shakti. Other time you are saying...
And Shakti. Shiva Shakti is...
Okay. Shiva Shakti is risen from Purusha and Shakti. Shiva, you only said that, I'm trying to understand what you are saying. You said, Purush, from Purush. Okay, you didn't say it, okay? I heard you say that. I think she also heard you say that. Something like that, we are trying to understand what you are saying. You can replace your question. What's your question?
No, I'm only asking, I'm clarifying something that Shiva Shakti, like she said, according to what I understand,
it's
pure.
Pure.
It has
no
ego, no
karma,
no punya, no nothing.
Okay.
It's above Purush and
Prakriti,
which we have
this. What do you mean by above Purush and
Prakriti?
It's clean. Purush is clean. Purush has no...
Yeah, but Purush with Prakriti here, like petrol.
Purush with Prakriti is Ami.
Like petrol and
Purush with Prakriti is Ami. Purush with Prakriti is Mamta.
It's not Ami.
See, but first follow what I am saying. There is only pure consciousness. Okay? In the pure consciousness, the Prakriti surfaces. From Purusha, the Prakriti comes. Okay? The energy play happens. When the energy play happens, then various expressions come. Okay, so just trying to explain from your level. So this various expression, one expression is puja, one expression is ami, one is mamta, etc. And who is all this
combination of purusha and prakriti? There is pure consciousness, pure energy, which is beyond ego, the way you are saying, beyond ego. But from that when the expression comes, the individuality has come. Mamta has come, Madhushri has come, PLN has come, everything has come. Right. Now this individual
has the capacity to identify with the consciousness aspect and go back, or identify with prakriti aspect, create further vasana and continue in samsara. That's all there is.
What about the idea of Shiva Shakti?
What about the idea means what about it?
I think the confusion is we are connecting Shri Shakti to Shankar Parvati. It is not Shankar Parvati. Not
for that.
Don't take it further.
So the idea of Shiva Shakti is consciousness, your energy. So that's one. So should we relate to Purush Prakriti at all, or should we not relate?
First of all, I will not relate. But if you want to relate, it's not very confusing at all. That Purush se Prakriti aya, from that Prakriti and Purush identification out of ignorance, this individual has come, Mamta has come. Now Mamta can further create more vasanas, that means samsara, or Mamta can break the identification and get back to Purusha. Now if you relate it to Shakti and Shiva, I have no problem. I am not getting confused at all. So if you want to hear this, if you are, you compare also, same thing, there is no confusion.
Pure energy coming from pure consciousness. And then further manifestation comes. When further manifestation has come, you can get back or you can further create more vasanas. But the fact that we created more vasanas, we are in this samsaric cycle. But even today, you can stop identifying with your prakriti. Slowly, the gunas subside. Then what will finally remain is your consciousness.
That's what
you mean. They're the same.
Which one is this?
I mean, basically, everyone has to reach the Purusha.
Everyone is Purusha.
Yeah.
Everyone is essentially divine.
Everyone is essentially divine and everyone is Purusha. It is in our way of being how we get related to Prakriti and we get our vasanas involved in that, or we remain in a pure form of Purusha. Understood.
Many shloks, not one, Devi shloks of Vishma Shabda Chakma. I don't know the details now, but the essence is that Shakti, the endeavor is that the Shakti is trying with spiritual discipline and kundalini and various methods of spiritual discipline to reach
a certain spiritual
Shiva.
So
these are the things then.
Yes, please understand this. I don't know if you are referring to Sri Vidya Sadhana. There is something called Sri Vidya Sadhana. Lalita Sastra Nama.
Yeah.
So I am trying to tell you. Lalita Sastra Nama is nothing but Sri Vidya Sadhana.
Sri Vidya Sadhana.
Now behind the cards, many cards you have seen this, two triangles making a star and in between Shri is written. Right? These two triangles, what is this? When energy is flowing upward, when energy flows upward, you destroy samsara. When energy flows downward, you create samsara. Okay? So energy that comes from consciousness, when it starts flowing outward, samsara is furthered. And the same energy you turn inward, finally samhara, the samsara dissolves, then Shakti becomes one with Shiva. That is the, from Muladhara the energy is risen to the sadhana. I will do, first I will understand the concept and not combine. The problem is now we have read so many books here and there, then we are trying to fit in the concept. But if you fit in also, nothing. So that's what I'm trying to say. The energy rising upward is what? Attaining of Atma. Energy flowing downward is samsara. That creates samsara. See that star is seen from that one, the samsara. Now the other one is going towards the samsara, towards the samsara. then what remains inside is Atma. So, all that we need to understand from this portion, without further confusion after this, the modifications, first of all, Purusha and Prakriti both are Anadi, beginningless. But the modifications of Gunas are in Prakriti. Okay, second point. They are not in the Purush. When out of ignorance, we identify with Prakriti, we create Pap and Punya. So in the cause and effect, Prakriti is the cause. But who is experiencing the pleasure and pain sitting inside? The Purush. Right. So due to the attachment to Prakriti, we are dwelling in this samsara. We need to gain this knowledge and become detached from the Prakriti. The more and more we start de-identifying with Prakriti and identifying with Purusha, we become Purusha. When we become Purusha, we become absolute witness. Now this verse 23 I would like to take up fresh next week. It's a very interesting, important verse. Starts with Upadrashta. Upadrashta means witness. So you become a witness.
Witness to your actions?
To all that is happening to your presence.
God.
Oh. Oh, Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Kayena Vacha, Manasendriyeva, Manasendriyeva, Buddhyatmanava, Buddhyatmanava, Prakrite Swabhava, Prakrite Swabhava, Karomi Adhyat, Sakalam Parasmai, Narayanayeti Samarpayami, Narayanayeti Samarpayami. Thank you.